Thank you very much, ladies. Genesis chapter 12, if you get your Bible there and turn to chapter 12, first book, Genesis, and I think Brother Hall has our song tonight. We'll enjoy that and jump right on here after he's done. Genesis chapter 12, let's pray together, and we'll take another look at the man Abraham for a few moments tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good song. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Oh, hallelujah, what a Savior. And someday when we get in that wonderful place, we will sing, no doubt, His praises forever and ever. And He'll be worth it all. He'll just be deserving of every praise that He receives. So, Lord, thank you tonight for shedding your blood, so that we might be saved, have a home in heaven, a life worth living on this earth, a God to pray to, a Bible to read, a Spirit to comfort and guide us, and a church to attend. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May you be lifted up and magnified through the ministry of this church, I pray. Bless our hearts tonight. Give us, I pray, a good Bible study in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 10. The Bible says, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." Now, last week we looked at the fact that Abraham was a tent dweller. He was a tent dweller. He only sojourned in the land, having never received it as a possession personally. Now, several years later, Abraham's seed inherited the land and moved on to it, and his seed is there today living in the land. and it is theirs, and they belong there, and they should stay there, and the United States of America should support that. Amen. But Abraham never received it for his own. And the Bible tells us that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Now, he was only a tent dweller. Remember that verse last week in Hebrews 11? He dwelt in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. It was 100 years, I believe it was, we looked at. He died at 175 years old. He moved out of the land of his fathers at age 75. So for 100 years, he was a tent dweller, living in tabernacles, if you will, and tents, okay? And so in being that, he was much like you and me, much like you and I should be in this New Testament church age. We are, according to the New Testament, supposed to be pilgrims and strangers in this world, sojourning here. We shouldn't put our roots down as far as developing a zealous affection or attachment. That's what we talked about last week in Colossians 3. Set your affection, that zealous attachment, set it on things above, not on things on this earth. Okay? Why? Because we're sojourning. Does it mean you're lackadaisical in business? It doesn't mean you're foolish with your finances. It doesn't mean you can't make an investment for the future or lay up for your children and give an inheritance to them someday. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that you don't zealously attach yourself to the things of this world. And there's a lot of things that go into that. Money, education, position, power, all that. Okay? And things. And so that's what it means, all right? We're pilgrims and strangers. We're sojourning here. We're on a journey. We're on our way to a city whose builder and ruler is God. And when we get to that place, the things that we held so valuable down here, we'll look at it and go, what in the world? What in the world? So remember that. We need to remember that our treasures are laid up beyond this world. But Abraham moves out. It was a pretty big step of faith for Abraham to leave his home and to sojourn in a strange land. So he had done well by taking that step of faith. All right. However, sometime after he began to sojourn by faith, the Bible says that the tent dweller faced a trial. The tent dweller faced a trial. There he was, a stranger in a strange land. I was talking about that to the young people in chapel today. Had a wonderful chapel with the guys and the girls. And I'm talking about all of them, kindergarten through 12th grade today. Wonderful chapel service. And they listened well, paid attention. Even the little kids paid attention, listened well. And I was talking about when Ben and Ashley were in Madagascar and just there a few months when that military coup broke out. And you're a stranger in a strange land. And you don't know the language. You don't know the customs. You don't know the culture. You don't know the city. You don't know the people. And all of a sudden, you've got a military coup on your hands. And people running through the streets firing AK-47s and automatic weapons in the air. Craziness. Shooting into crowds and killing 30-something people. That's what Abraham was. He's a stranger in a strange land. We read the Bible like it's a fairy tale sometimes. He's a sojourner. He's surrounded by suspicious and maybe hostile people. So here he is. He's responsible for all of his herds and his flocks. But more than that, he's responsible for his family. And what happens as he begins to sojourn? The Bible says he comes face to face with a famine. Wham. And not just a small famine. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, for the famine was grievous in the land. So it was a grievous famine. A difficult famine. So after becoming a tent dweller, Abraham faces a trial. After taking a step of faith, he faces a trial. And understand, friend, in this New Testament day and age, it is the same. All who take a step of faith will face a trial. All of us. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think the first thing that crossed his mind must have been when he faced this trial? He takes a step of faith, he leaves everything he has, and he's dwelling in tents. And now there's a grievous famine. What do you think crosses his mind? Well, this might be a little bit of speculation rather than just from the pages of the Scripture. But, I would imagine, given personal experience, that he might think, have I made a mistake? Have I made a mistake? You see, that happens to God's people today. Some people today take a step of faith. Some kind of step of faith is made for God. They join a church, or they start tithing, or they start giving to missions, or they put a child in Christian school, or they make some commitment to a ministry, or maybe it's a teenager. You know, a teenager can take a step of faith that is just as great a leap for them as a great leap of faith would be for an adult man. A teenager takes a step of faith. So maybe it's a teenager or a college student taking a step of faith. And as soon as you take that step of faith, as soon as you make that commitment to Christ, whatever area, whatever arena it is, wham, you hit a trial. And the first thing you begin to think to yourself is, did I make a mistake? And we begin to doubt the decision that we made in faith. Now hear this, you never make a mistake taking a step of faith for God. I don't care how small or large it is, okay? We're not talking about the size of the step. We're talking about a baby step or a quantum leap of faith. Any person who takes a step of faith of God, a step of faith for God, does not make a mistake. I was thinking about these first year college students who are leaving, who have left or are leaving. I hope they've been on my mind. I hope they've been on your mind. I prayed and asked God to bless them. It's different. And some of you parents, the phone might ring. And there might be a homesick kid on the other end of the line. And that's very possible. There was a college girl who would call her parents and... It was a collect call, and the operator would say, "State your name, please." And she was so crying, couldn't even get her name out. "This is your pastor's wife." More than once. Because she's homesick. She'd been away for 2 years in high school, boarding, but there's just something different about the college environment. Just different. That created the homesickness in the heart. And you know, you take a step of faith by going away to college somewhere. And then all of a sudden, man, you get there and maybe sometimes you're even faced with a trial. And she told me, she said, I remember her dad talking about it. Her dad would say the phone would ring and the operator would say, "Collect, call from," and there'd be this broken voice, you know. And he'd take the collect call. "What do you want?" "I want to come home." That may happen to some of you parents. That may happen. Child takes a step of faith, or a college kid takes a step of faith, or an adult man takes a step of faith, or an adult woman takes a step of faith. It's not unusual to be immediately encountered by a trial after you take a step of faith. But you never make a mistake taking a step of faith for God. You never do. Now remember a few truths about taking steps of faith. First of all, we have an enemy who will attempt to discourage us. Anytime you take a step of faith for God, the old enemy is going to be around to try to discourage you. So just mark it down. It's going to come. Discourage you. How about this one? We were never promised that it would be easy. Never promised. You take a step of faith, there's not a promise of ease. And some people have this mentality, you know, that if I'll take this step of faith, all of my troubles will be behind me. If you take that step of faith, all of your troubles may just start. That's encouraging, isn't it? But it's true. Because we're never promised that it will be easy. I was thinking about this afternoon. You know, Mary, the mother, I'm talking about the Mary who became the mother of Jesus. There she is, the little handmaid, the humble servant girl. And the angel comes to her and says, "Mary, you've been favored by God and blessed by God. And He wants you to be the carrier of the Christ child, to bring the Christ child into the world." And, whoa. And then she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, "How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" In a great salutation. And then, you know, they go through the process of the birth. And the shepherds come after they see the angelic choir in the sky. And they come telling Mary and Joseph and all that happened. And here came the wise men. I mean, all that happened at the birth of Christ. Actually, this would be before the wise men came. And all the excitement. But you know, when that baby was 8 days old, Jesus was 8 days old. Mary and Joseph took that baby into the temple for the rite of circumcision. Had the rite of circumcision. Now he's over there. Take him into the temple. Be blessed. And Simeon comes And Simeon takes the baby in his arms and he makes all these wonderful predictions about the Christ child. He even says, "Lord, let now thy servant depart in peace, because I have, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He'll be set for the rise of many," and all these wonderful acclamations. And then he slips a little phrase in, and it's directed to Mary. You know what he says? "A sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." You know, Mary took a step of faith when she, as that handmaid, submitted to the will of God. Remember what she said? "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." So she took a step of faith. But friend, if you think for one minute that it was all glorious, you need to read the Bible. Because the Bible says that a sword would pierce through her own soul also. So if I'm talking to somebody tonight who has recently taken a step of faith for God, and you've met with some hard times, you've met with a trial or a test, God never promised that if you take the step of faith, it will be easy. In some cases, it will bring some turmoil into your life. And how about this? Sometimes God brings the trial to prepare us for something ahead of us. He's certainly not trying to hurt us. He may be trying to build you. He may be trying to strengthen you for something down the road that's even greater that you're going to face. And in His foreknowledge, He knows that. And in His great love, He brings a little difficulty into your life or my life so that we can face this trial, stay faithful, see God get us through it. And then when the big one comes, hey, now we've got some experience behind us. You know, I think about David and Goliath, you know, when he slew that old giant. But the truth of the matter is, he had already slain a lion and a bear. I bet you he was sure glad he had that experience when it came time to face that old giant. So if you've taken a step of faith recently, as a tent dweller in this land, you don't want to put your roots down so deep here that you become zealously attached to the things of this world, and you took a step of faith, some kind of small step or some kind of quantum leap for you, no matter what age you are, and immediately after you took the step of faith, boom, you're hit by a trial, and you think to yourself, "I must have made a mistake." Understand, friend, never undo in doubt what you decided in faith. Okay? God's not the author of confusion. So don't ever undo in doubt what you decided in faith. But wait a minute, there's something else to avoid when the trial of faith comes our way. And it will. There's something else to avoid. Do not adopt a hurt or injured tone when trials come. Take it easy with the self-pity. You know, some people are tempted to look back and say, "Man, things were a whole lot better for me before I made this choice. I made this choice for God. I took this step of faith for God. And what life before I took this step of faith was a whole lot better than it is since I took this step of faith. This is not good. I tried to honor God in my decision, and look now what happened. It would have been better if I had not made the decision at all. It would be better if I was still living like I used to live." That's a self-pity attitude. The Israelites, after they crossed the Red Sea, got to that place where there was no water, and they said to God, "Why did you bring us out of the land of Egypt? We should have stayed down there." What? Remember that's what they said? "Why did you bring us out of the land of Egypt? We should have stayed down there. We thought we were taking this step of faith and following Moses out of this place. But the truth of the matter is, we should have stayed down there. We had it better down there than we got it out here." You know what I say? How quickly one can forget the toils and troubles of life before the step of faith was taken. How quickly we forget. You know, one of the silliest things they ever said. "We remember the leeks and the garlics and the cucumbers." Okay, I haven't met an onion yet, or garlic yet, a clove of garlic yet that was worth not taking a step of faith for God. Yeah, we were better off down there. Well, listen, friend, had they stayed in the land of Egypt, there is no telling what kind of difficulties they would have faced. Pharaoh was a mean, ugly oppressor. He was developing a horrible hatred for the children of Israel. There's no telling what they would have faced had they stayed in the land of Egypt. How much more tolerable was the trial in the wilderness with God than a trial in Egypt without God? That's kind of a silly way to look at it. We have the mentality that not taking the step of faith would have meant no troubles. There's no guarantee that's true, friend. Now think about this for a minute. Jonah might have had some difficulty if he'd have gone straight to Nineveh. But I want to tell you something. There was a whole lot more difficulty in not going. So Jonah is one who didn't take the step of faith and ended up down, 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 down. Some of us take a step of faith, hit a little trial or difficulty, and then say, boy, it was sure better back there. How do you know? How do you know? You have no idea where you would be, what would be going on in life had you not taken the step of faith. You have no idea, friend. No idea whatsoever. When we move ahead by faith in the will of God, there will be friction. You know, kind of why this has been on my mind a little bit lately, because of Brother Caleb and I and our interaction with the newcomers classes, watching some of these newcomer folks. I even talked about it last week a little bit. It's to the Sunday school class on Sunday that I taught for Brian Maxwell. And to watch some of these newcomers take steps of faith, some small, some big leaps for them. And you know what happens? Top position. And it doesn't just happen to newcomers. It happens to people who are continuing to grow in their walk of faith with God. When you take a step of faith, you're causing, it's progress. When there's movement, there is friction, there is heat. Movement creates friction and heat. And so when you take a step of faith, maybe some young person took a step of faith at camp this year, or at a conference this year, and you took a step of faith and you thought, man, I am going to do this for the Lord. And since you have done that and you've been faithful to your decision, you've had some turmoil. Been better off if I hadn't made that. No. You never make a mistake taking a step of faith for God. Never. Don't question. You must not question if you did the right thing, or embrace a way of thinking that is full of self-pity. Don't avoid that. Don't do it. This is what Abraham did. He took a step of faith, and boom. He hit immediately with this trial. The tent dweller faces a trial. Now I want to look quickly here. Two things. Look at, first of all, at what Abraham did. Look at what he did in verse number 10 there in your Bible. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. He has stepped out in faith, but he did not act according to faith. He stepped out in faith, but he reacted by sight. Once we step out in faith, folks, we have to walk in that faith. Really, it's the same principle as when you get saved. You take a step of faith by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith, therefore being justified by faith. We're saved by faith. You take a step of faith when you get saved. And then if you're going to continue to grow, you've got to walk in faith. I don't walk with a terror in my soul, am I going to stay saved? I walk in the faith of knowing that Jesus promised, if you'll trust me, I'll hold you in the center of my hand. And Jesus said He is in the center of God's hand. And we're covered by His blood. So if the devil gets to us, he has to go through the blood of Jesus Christ. And like the old black preacher said, man, if he has to go through the blood, if he goes through the blood, he'll be one saved devil. Sure. I feel sorry for people who get saved by faith and then walk by emotion. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't really know. And I feel like it today and I don't feel like it tomorrow. Look, friend, you took a step of faith when you got saved. Walk in that faith. Walk in it. And don't walk in it. You can't walk in faith by sight. That's exactly what Abraham did. Abraham took a step of faith and then he reacted by sight. Uh-oh, the famine. It's all around me. No food. I got a wife. I got children. I got herds and flocks. This is a bad situation. There was no direction from God to flee to Egypt. God had said to come out and I'll take you into the land. God never directed him to go to Egypt. This was something he came up with himself. On his own. Because he got to live in by sight. After he took a step of faith, he got to live in by sight. and he fled to Egypt. Now, I want to say this. I want to talk about what Abraham should have done. And you say, where do you find? Well, we can compare Abraham's situation with another Bible example to see exactly what Abraham should have done and what you and I should do when we encounter a trial after a step of faith. And I'm talking to a wide variety of people here tonight, and some people say, you know, I haven't taken a step of faith in years. Well, you know what? There are some people in this church who are taking steps of faith. And I want to help them all. Now listen very carefully. I'm talking about the man Moses. Moses got in a pickle more than once with 2 to 3 million people that he led out of Egypt. The Bible says that he led them out by faith. Hebrews 11:27. By faith, he forsook Egypt. So he took this gigantic quantum leap of faith by leading 2 to 3 million people out of the land of Egypt. And after leading them out, trial after trial after trial came on them. The enemy came, coming to capture them, take them back into slavery. No water, no food, bitter water. And every time Moses hit one of those trials, after he stepped out by faith, he continued to walk in faith. He turned the situation to the hands of God. Abraham didn't do that. Abraham took it to himself. Moses turned. Let me refresh your memory. You know the story. I'm not telling you anything tonight you don't know. Got to the Red Sea. There they are. Preached a message many years ago in the old building. Here came Pharaoh's army. I preached a message between the devil and the deep blue sea. You ever heard that saying? They were between the devil, Pharaoh and his army, and the deep blue sea. And they started going bananas because they knew Pharaoh was coming. What are we going to do? All the bedlam and confusion. And you know what Moses said? I love it. Now, I'm paraphrasing for sake of time tonight. But he said this. He said, hey, folks, what we're going to do is we're going to stand still and see what God does. Now, you know what he was doing? He's throwing the whole thing back into the hands of God. God, you brought me out here. You brought me out here with 2 to 3 million people. I can't cross this sea. And here comes this maniac with all of his revenge and his ugliness and his intentions. So, okay, you know what Moses did? He put God on the spot. He said, stand still. We'll just wait and do what God tells us to do. And I love it. God says, Moses, tell the people to go forward. Go forward. There's the water. Put your rod out over the waters. And then the greatest miracle, one of the greatest miracles in the Old Testament, took place. And they walked across on dry ground. He put it in the hands of God. God, you brought me out here. I took this step of faith. I did it following you. Now I'm in a pickle. You got me out here. You get me out of this. It's really what he did. So they got through the Red Sea. Then they came to Rephidim. There's no water. You know what Moses did? He didn't try to come up with a solution himself. Moses said, God, what do you want me to do? You brought me out here. These folks are dying of thirst. What do you want to do? And God gave water. They got to Kadesh Barnea, and to me, this is one of the most unbelievable discourses between God and a human you can read in the Bible. They got to Kadesh Barnea, and the 10 spies come back with the report that the giants, they're huge, and we're in their sight like grasshoppers, and the grapes are this big, but we're like grasshoppers. Oh, the people, that's when they said, oh, we should have stayed. We remember the leeks and the garlics and the onions and the cucumbers. Oh, we should have stayed. And they were furious with Moses, furious. One of them said, make us a captain and forget this Moses and let's go back into Egypt. And boy, God got angry. He got so angry. He told Moses, he said, Moses, get out of my way. Let me kill them. I'll wipe them off the face of the earth and I'll take you and I'll start a brand new nation with you. If I was Moses, I would have said, that sounds good. Do you remember what Moses said? Paraphrasing again, but you can read it in Numbers 14. He said, Lord, the Egyptians and the Canaanites know that you brought us out here. They know that we are your people. They've heard a lot about you. And if you do that, they're going to say that the God of the Jews wasn't strong enough to get them into the land. Now you read it for yourself. Moses, quiet. Don't talk like that to God. That's what he said. You got us out here, and now you're going to kill us? Oh, that'd be good, God. 2-3 million dead Jews. The God who's supposed to take us to the promised land. They were all dead. They're just going to say, well, God just wasn't strong enough. God repented of the evil. Took care of business. Some years later, they got into the promised land where God said he would put them. I'm just saying, friend, every time Moses, he took this step of faith. And after he took a step of faith, every time he encountered a trial or a test, he didn't try to drum up what to do himself. He just threw it back into the hands of God. Said, okay, Lord, I followed you out here. Here I am. I don't know what to do. It's yours. He wasn't being irreverent. He wasn't being dishonoring to God. He was just walking by faith. Folks, if he had been walking by sight, he wouldn't have lasted at the Red Sea. Now listen. Every time they faced a tough situation, Moses simply put the matter back into God's hand. Every time God handled it, and we will find God the same if we'll just take the approach of saying, God, I followed you in this step of faith, and now I am at an obstacle. I am up against a wall. I don't know what to do, so what are you going to do? And I'm going to wait on you. I'm not going to cut and run. I'm not going to bail. I'm going to wait on you. You know what we need to do, folks? You know what we need to do? We need to give God the opportunity to reward the step of faith. Give Him the opportunity. If you've taken a step of faith and now you hit a trial or a difficult, don't cut and run. Don't bail. Let God reward your step of faith. You say, well, how's He going to do it? He is God. He's got a million different ways. But Moses and those people saw Him come through time and time and time and time again. If you take a step of faith, you're going to encounter a trial. There is a real enemy. God never promised that it would be easy. It's not always. There may be a bigger one down the road that God is preparing us for. Don't delve into self-pity and don't wring your hands and say, boy, I made a mistake and it sure was better back there before I took this step of faith. No, just, okay, Lord, here I am. I followed you out here. Here it is. And let God take care of you. Let God take care of you. Somebody put your kids in Christian school this year on a step of faith. Because like I preached about three Sunday nights ago, you don't have all the figures on paper. Don't all add up. Now, I'm not trying to make a case for poor financial planning, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. God has had a wonderful relationship with people who can't always make the numbers add up on paper. Trust Him. Trust Him. So I wonder tonight, did you take a step of faith recently? Did you take a step of faith sometime in the past only to flee because a trial came? Did you bail out before giving God the opportunity to reward your faith? What might have happened had you just put the matter in the hands of God and left it there? What might have happened? Because listen very carefully, stepping out in faith must be followed by walking in faith. Must be. So when you take a step of faith, friend, just walk in that step. Walk in that faith. Walk in it. Walk in it. You've got a great God. If you follow Him out into the wilderness, He'll be there to supply every need. follow him. Because the tent dweller faced a trial. And you will too. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Maybe something that was said would help you and be a blessing to you. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll please help us to have a strong faith in you. Lord God, I pray that you'd build our faith in you. I remember what they said, increase our faith. God, that's what my hope, prayer, desire is for the people of Faith Baptist Church, for myself. That God, you'll increase our faith. Have we become a people, Lord, who walk by sight only? Have we forsaken the principle of walking by faith? Not foolishness, but stepping out on your word and trusting you to honor it. And Lord, I pray that you'll bolster and strengthen and encourage and lift up and build the people of God's faith in this room. Maybe some, Lord, took a step and bailed out too quick. I pray they go back and revisit that step of faith. Help us, oh God, when the trial comes, to look to you. Not delve into self-pity. Figure that we made a mistake. Just to wait for you to reward the step. Help our people, oh God, please. Build our faith in a real, powerful, wonderful God who still hears and answers the prayers of his people and rewards their faith. Because it's pleasing to you. Give us grace, I pray. In Jesus' name.